Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
I do that on every single episode. Hoop, what up, boy? Welcome back to Man to Man, the best NBA podcast where we bring you the latest episodes, topics around the NBA. This is your co-host, Andy Elliott. How you doing?
Alongside your co-host, Liam, the Hoopstar Nash.
Hoopstar, namaste. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing good, actually. Not much doing today. It's Sunday. I like to, you know.
Lazy Sunday?
Lazy Sunday. Off of school. No, nothing there. Studying a lot, though. That is.
Hey, Hoop, I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
What? Somebody asked me this the other day, and I still can't figure it out. Why are most hurricanes named after women?
That is a good one, and I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm going to fuck it up if I try to say it. So
you don't know? You heard this one?
I think so. They make a lot of noise and disrupt.
Nah. Because when they come, they are wet and wild. And when they leave, they take your house and your car. Welcome back to Man to Man. We're on episode 28, Hotline Bling. If you're new to the show or unsubscribed yet, please make sure to go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Hit that subscribe button, good reviews, blase, blase. Stay tuned for our 2K giveaway. It's coming up here soon. It might be the next episode. Who knows? We're giving out a Miami Vice D-Wade special edition jersey. With that being said, we appreciate the support so far from everyone who listens to our episode. You guys keep us motivated to keep going. We appreciate it. This episode is brought to you by Yaz Apparel this week. You know, it's got the hottest streetwear available on the market. They got the most exclusive, fresh, trendy items, including different color set hoodies, t-shirts, and more that will fit perfectly in your everyday attire. NBA players like Jackson Hayes has a Yaz hoodie in his arsenal. And hey, every item sold, they donate clothing to the homeless. It's a win-win. You look good. You do it for a good cause. Plus, everything in the store is 50% off at the checkout. That's yazapparel.club. Go check them out. We'll throw that link in the description. They're cool. Recap of last week, Hoop and I uncovered the what the protocol looked like for media staff and players when first entering the hashtag bubble life, as all 22 teams are officially barricaded in the bubble under strict ruling and exclusion to the outside world. We talked about rooms being compared to Motel Sixes, players posting their meals figuratively, replicating the Fire Festival food, and teams ramping up as they hit the court for the practice this week. We're still wondering, JR, you got a blanket or nah, brother? But listen, in all seriousness, we're going to get into some key players who will now not be able to play with their teams due to some recent injuries. We'll go into our man-to-man worthy or keep that shit moving, brother. We heard we got some players snitching in the anonymous tip hotline. What's going on? And we'll cap it off with everything you need to know about gambling. Yes! In our newest segment called Who's Hot? Who's not, with our special guest, Rob Mr. Sunken.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sunken. So I want to start off with...
It's a weird last name. That's not actually his last name. It's Sucker.
I want to start
we'll
off...
We'll get him, man. Don't worry.
I want to start off by saying the hashtag for Get Henny Man a Blanket must have not worked last week.
It didn't work, right?
I think we just need to send JR a man-to-man blanket ourselves, right? and then as far as the anonymous tip line, who is snitching on other players? I would really like to know. LeBron snitching on Kawhi, or is Chris Paul snitching on Rondo?
Right.
We'll get into more of that later in the episode. But speaking of Rondo, he appears to make NBA headlines once again this week. But this time it's not about the Motel 6 room. It is. Been reported that after last week's practice with the Lakers, the guard, Rajon Rondo himself, fractured his thumb and was advised to undergo immediate surgery. So what did he do?
Rondo did it. He did it, coach.
Rondo's surgery was very successful, and his timeline to return to full basketball, you know, activities still remains around that 6 to 8 weeks. I don't want to say this is bad karma for Rondo, but what are the chances the guy that complains the most about the hotel rooms is the first player to actually get injured in the bubble? Not exactly what you want to do in the restart of a season, you know, before the scrimmages. They didn't even get to scrimmage before this, right?
Nope, not yet.
So my question to you on this one is, though, we see that Avery Bradley now has opted out of the, you know, the rest of this season. Mm-hmm. Rondo is now missing at least the first half of the playoffs. Who will carry the weight of these two guys at the point guard position? Obviously, we do know that LeBron James does play the point most of the time, even though the guy can play pretty much every position on the court. But my question to you is here is, what does this mean for the Lakers' point guard position?
Yeah, that's a good question. Avery Bradley, Rondo being out, man. I tell you what, I believe in karma. I'm one of those guys. But this is just devastating for my guy, Rondo. You never want to see a player injured or get hurt. You know, glad his surgery was successful without any red flags. Without Avery Bradley and now Rajon Rondo, you're going to have different guys have to step up on both sides of the floor. So to answer your question, Hoop, I think the guy who will need to assist LeBron at the point guard position the most is none other than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I love my guy KCP. Lakers went 17-3 this season with Caldwell-Pope as a starter when he replaced an injured Avery Bradley earlier in the season, right? And I think he fits perfectly in that position. We know, you know, he kind of got off to a slow start at the beginning of the season. He wasn't shooting the ball well, and some even said he sort of had an up-and-down type of season this year. But, you know, he turned his game around pretty quickly through that halfway point. You know, he's this offensive player. He's averaging about 12 points off the bench, you know. And but with all that being said, the most consistent part of his game this season is defense. Throughout those 20 games as a starter, the Lakers had a defensive rating, efficiency offensive or defensive rating of 95% with him on the court. And they were the best, you know, that was the best defensive rating in the league as a team. And, you know, I'm sure Caruso and J.R. Smith will have the opportunity to run point alongside LeBron and KCP. But I think KCP, you know, he fits perfectly in that transition from being a shooting guard to running the point, as well as being a defensive threat, you know, getting over screens, denying his man the ball, which tires out the offensive player. And he does a great job at really making his marks work to even get the ball for a steal.
Right. I do kind of like the point of KCP. I didn't really think of him before you mentioned that, actually.
Right? KCP kind of came out of the gutter a little bit, right?
Yeah, I almost forgot that he was on the Lakers. But
just like Markieff Morris.
Yeah. Don't know where he's at. not in the bubble yet. He's still not there. But yeah, I think you make a good point there. Obviously, losing Bradley and Rondo takes away significant attributes from both ends of the court. You know, Rondo is obviously the offensive wizard in terms of like directing the play calls and getting his teammates involved. And Bradley, I mean, we all know he's one of the probably best on-ball defenders, and he's a threat from the three-point line as well. But with Rondo being out, the first player that comes to my mind to fill that position would be Caruso, right?
Yeah.
The only thing I have a problem with Caruso is he's not consistent, you know, on the both ends of the floor. Kind of like what you were mentioning with KCP. He brings more value to the team because he's at that 3-point, you know, threat as well as a good defender. But we do hear this in a Zoom call with the media on Monday. Lakers head coach kind of dropped a big hint as to which player would, you know, be in that starting job. He says, we'll always have an open competition, but KCP, you know, did a phenomenal job when Avery was injured earlier this season. That's really where I'm in terms of what that starting lineup is actually going to look like. And I think KCP will get that job as the starter for sure.
So you're agreeing with the KCP?
I like it.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize that I would have really, I mean, like I said, I would have said Caruso would probably fit that next point guard up, but it looks like KCP is going to be.
But you can't see Caruso getting the start just because he doesn't have like that much experience, rather than KCP, kind of a vet in the league. I'd call him a vet, and he's got that experience. LeBron's probably going to run the point for the most part, but when LeBron needs those minutes off, when he, you know, if there's a play for LeBron,
you're gonna have to have
someone step in. I know they signed JR because they wanted to fill that defensive substitution from Avery Bradley, but Rondo, he's just kind of like you were saying, like a wizard, and he kind of dishes the ball and directing play calls and stuff like that. That's why I like KCP there. He does more than I think he might be even a better player than Rondo on the offensive side of the court, just because he can shoot better. He's a threat, and he's probably just, you know, as big as a threat as Danny Green from the 3-point line.
Right. I was going to say the biggest thing I see is that I like Caruso coming off the bench more, because he's kind of that, you know, fire starter, you know, kind of just he's that spark that you need off the bench coming in with a fucking monster dunk or some shit, dunk on some guy's head or anything.
Yeah.
But why do we always talk about the Lakers at the beginning of every single episode? I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah, we do it a lot. I don't know.
The Showtime team, you know, never fails to disappoint us with worthy news, but we got to keep it moving, which leads us into one of my favorite segments. I think it's one of yours as well.
Yep.
It's man-to-man worthy or keep it moving.
Yep, let's do it.
Let's.
What we got on the docket?
Hoop. On the docket today. Let's start out with the first one. Our main man, Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks ago, Pacers All-Star guard Victor Oladipo said that he would sit out of the NBA's restart because of his, you know, knee that he had surgery on. But as early this week, he said that he may be changing his mind about this after practicing with the team in Florida. And he said there might be a strong possibility that he would rejoin the lineup for the restart. I think I already know your answer on this one, but is this worthy or nah?
I don't think so, Sank. You know, hit the brakes, brother. Court, this is worthy. What? We're talking about our Pacers here. You know, and anytime they get national spotlight, it's always made a man worthy. As any Pacer fan knows, we don't get much exposure of national spotlight. I don't know if it's because we're a small market team or what, but here at Man to Man, we got to hit the brakes. We see that Vic comes out with an interview saying, right, like you were saying, it was hard to assess. It was hard for me to assess where I was, but being able to come down here and practice with my guys at a high level, I think there is a strong possibility that I might play. I'm definitely trying to. Well, come on, Vic. No one's stopping you, right? In my opinion, I don't know, man. I obviously want Vic to play. This injury that he's faced is one of the most unique, is what they're calling it, injuries in the history of the NBA. Only Charles Barkley and Tony Parker had it when they were kind of vets in the league. Vic's, you know, 8 years in, but he's not super vets like they were when they got the injury. Yes, there's obviously a chance of him getting hurt, knock on wood, hope he doesn't. But he's down there with the team. It sounds like he's healthy enough to at least get out there for a few minutes and play. That being said, management will probably put him on a minute restriction just because that's what the Pacers did with him when he returned earlier this season. But let's get him back in shape, baby, back in game four. And in this interview that Vic was talking about, yes, he obviously wants to play, but is there somebody, you know, in the inside of the organization in the back office is saying maybe you shouldn't? I think it's really up to Vic, man. I think it's his call.
I know. I think so for sure. I mean, Vic's a competitor. We both know that. When he came back, he was on that minute restriction, but he gave us big games.
Clutch performances, too.
Yeah, gave us a game winner, a couple of 30-point games. So for me, I think Vic obviously wants to play. just because he is a competitor. And Kendrick Perkins, probably the only time I will agree with him on this, he was on, I think it was The Jump or something, and he said that, you know, he's already down there, like you mentioned. If you're down there, you're practicing, it looks like you've already came back, you can play the game. Why not just play, right? So I think we'll see him. It's good news for us. I would like to see him. And
I think he'll come back. I think there's serious possibility that he'll try to at least play. I don't know if he's going to play that first or second. I mean, what do you think? You think he's going to come in and play that first or second game in those eight regular season game? Or do you think he might wait a little bit and maybe play in that fourth or fifth? Or do you think it really matters?
I think if he says he's going to come back and play, he's going to play in the first
couple of games.
Yeah. Then based off of kind of where we're seated, and if we can make a jump, possibly he'll play in those later games. But I think for sure, first two or the three games he'll play, and then kind of look at kind of how it's unfolding.
Kind of assess where he's at actually on the court playing 5-on-5 with other guys who, you know, have been trying to get in that game mode as well. Quick question here, Hoop. Is Vic the only player in the bubble right now who's kind of in this position? We did talk about Kyrie Irving a little bit. Is Kyrie in the bubble right now?
I mean, in terms of Vic, he's the only one that says he's going to potentially play. All the other players said that they're either not going to play or going to play.
Right.
But I don't know. Is Kyrie in the bubble? Probably not.
I have no idea. I've heard of Kimba, the whole Kimba situation, but we kind of knew that Kimba hadn't really been hurt like Oladipo. So it's a unique situation, man. I think if he's, you know, trending in a positive way, hey, Pacer Nation, baby, we need you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's move on. Next one we got up here is we see that Zion Williamson, everybody knows who that is right now.
Yeah, I hope so.
They say that he left the bubble for what they're calling urgent family matter. But he does say that he intends to rejoin the team at a later date. Is this worthy, or are we keeping it moving on this one?
I'm gonna just pause it for a second here. It's not that worthy, but it's kind of mentionable. One thing that I do want to note here was Zion. If his absence lasts 7 days or fewer, Zion will quarantine for 4 days upon his return to the NBA bubble. If he has a negative test each day, he's outside the bubble.
Okay.
Therefore saying if he is gone longer than a week, he will still quarantine for 4 days. If he has a negative test for the final 7 days, he is gone. If he doesn't have the required testing, he will quarantine for 10 days. I know Alvin Gentry came out and said, we don't really know when he's going to be back. I mean, me and you talked about it. We think he'll probably be back for that season's restart simply because they need to get back into the playoffs. But with that being said, we wish nothing but the best for Zion and his family. If you leave the bubble like that, man, it's probably pretty crucial. So that's all they said about it. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't really have much other than to say I think he'll be back, and thoughts and prayers to him and his family for sure.
Yep. Stay tested, bro. You got to stay tested to come back, though. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, safe than sorry. So probably the biggest probably headline that we did see this week is what we're calling the Hotline Bling. It was the Hotline.
Hey, Hotline Bling, baby.
Yes, sir. The league is doing all it can, you know, to keep COVID-19 outside of this bubble down in Orlando. And they created what they're calling this hotline, anonymous hotline, that people can call in and see if they, you know, potentially violated the safety protocols that were put into place.
Right.
And we get a couple players kind of mentioning it could just be the snitch hotline, or is this worthy? Or are we keeping it moving on this one?
Yeah, man. it's the snitch line, but you know, it's funny. I mean, it's serious, it's funny, and it's worthy. So the NBA set up a hotline number for players and coaches, like you're saying, to use and anonymously report social distancing violations, right? It makes sense. It's a good idea. I think Chris Paul came up with the idea. Many reports have come out and said that these players are making busy use of the hotline. Let's just say the hotline is getting used without failure. As some coaches, for example, my guy Doc Rivers said in an interview earlier this week, I will use it until, you know, we're the only team left here in the bubble. He's making jokes about it. You know, the major infractions about this hotline that we see are social distancing and mask usage, you know, as these players are still, you know, currently not allowed to visit each other's hotel rooms. They're allowed to socialize under certain restrictions. To sum up the whole hotline bling, the message is clear here. NBA players Damian Lillard was kind of right. Let's all obey the rules. I know it's pretty hard for these guys somehow. Let's obey the rules and the guidelines that have been set. My God, that means no late night Postmates run. Stop exiting the bubble. Dwight Howard, please wear a mask, dude. You're 8 feet tall. You're very noticeable. And Jimmy Butler, let's find a better time to work out than 3 a.m. dribbling a basketball in your hotel room, dude. People can hear that. I think, what's going on, dude? The hotline snitching. I'm snitching, dude. I'm snitching.
I like it. I like it. It's a good thought, but we just see some funnier violations, I guess you would call them. Right. And that's what's funny to me is, like, you know, Jimmy Butler is the by far the strangest one at 3 a.m. Why isn't he sleeping at 3 a.m.? Like,
bro, he works out like three times a day.
But he couldn't find a better time than 3 a.m. to work on the handles.
He was probably playing COD, bro, trying to get that Warzone dub. You know, it's pretty hard to get the dub over here. I don't know about him. It's probably hard for him, too, having a full-time job as an NBA player. He's thinking, man, it's 2 a.m. I got to get my third workout in, bro. So he dribbles the basketball. I agree with what you're saying. Players are probably making fun of it, just like Doc Rivers is, but at this and probably like whoever snitched on Dwight is probably like his teammate. I don't know. What do you think about this? Like, do you think this could ultimately be? I mean, it's a serious thing, right?
It is.
But is this the only way to keep or to prevent players from doing what they're doing, or would you rather just like call your teammate out or call somebody out in person? That's how I think I would approach it. Be like, yo, dude, you know, you can't be doing that, like joking around. Right. I don't know if I'm going to hit a hotline unless it's like 3 a.m. I get that. But hit a hotline kind of snitching on players. I don't know. I don't have that kind of mentality. I don't know if players are going to use this for like a player advantage at some point in the bubble.
Right. I think the biggest thing is kind of you mentioned it there, but I don't think there'll be any like advantage, you know, players trying to take advantage of it. Right. I think the biggest thing is the players that want to be there and need to be there, and like LeBron James and the Kawhis and the James Hardens and all of that, they're just going to follow the rules. So I think they need to set an example and just, you know, kind of just everybody follow the rules, like you were saying.
Well, let's go back to the first point right here. Players that are exiting the bubble, getting Postmates or whatever it is. I mean, these guys are – I know there's a younger guy. I think he was on the Spurs that no one really knows his name. But it's just like these younger players that are breaking the rules, man. And like if I were – if it were something that I were trying to protect my health and safety of not only myself, but, you know, my financial situation, I don't want the NBA bubble suspended because of some little rookie like went out, you know, if that makes sense. And I'm like, I don't know if something like that were to happen. I mean, clearly somebody snitched on those guys or somebody caught those guys. So, yeah, I'm snitching if I see something like that to protect my health and safety.
Right. And I think for the at least the first couple, like we see in the first week or so, there are going to be minor infractions and kind of like getting your bearings on how the bubble is actually going to work. Yeah. So
people,
I think
we're trying to figure out the rules.
Right. So I think these first couple of infractions are kind of those like, hey, you can't go out and order Postmates. You can't go outside the bubble. You got to wear a mask. Like Dwight Howard, put on a fucking mask and then just get some sleep. I mean, people got to sleep around here. So I think that's pretty much it. I don't think anything else. Now everybody's kind of figuring it out, and I don't see anything else.
Hear that.
Let's move on here. Trey Lyles, he gets surgery. I don't know if you know who this is. Maybe a lot of people don't know who this is. Standout forward from Kentucky, I think. Kind of a bust so far in the league. But yeah, he gets surgery. He gets an appendectomy. I'm not 100% sure what the hell that is.
I think it's in your I think it's on the right side of your stomach.
I'm guessing it's you get your appendix out. appendectomy. Sounds like appendix. I think he got his appendix out. But he's going to miss the rest of the season. Are we worthy or keeping it moving here?
That's just not on the right side of your stomach, is it? I don't know who Trey Lyles. I know Trey Lyles. Like, he got picked up by the Suns like a couple years ago. I think that could be Trey Burke. I have no idea. No. Please keep it moving. I don't want to talk about this guy.
All right. So next thing that we do see, probably the biggest news Twitter kind of blew up about, was Harden's mask that he wore in the bubble, supposedly representing Blue Lives Matter, which is kind of in support of 12, as they say, the cops.
Yeah, 12.
Is this worthy? Are we worthy on this?
Yeah, it's worthy. Let's hit the brakes here for a sec. Yeah, if you don't know by now, James Harden wore a mask that was in support of the Blue Lives Matter. We get it, yada, yada. He was seen in the public. You know, I think he posted something. Everyone, like, pretty much, people were saying he's making a political statement. When asked about this decision, Harden's like, honestly, I wasn't trying to make it a statement. I wore it because it covered my face and my beard and it looked cool. So, yeah, James kind of was one of these late bloomers that entered the bubble. He tested positive alongside Westbrook. Westbrook, I think, is still quarantined in Houston. Harden was pretty good about hiding his privacy there. We didn't really know until a couple of days later, and then we didn't know what the quarantine situation was with him in Houston. But he came to the bubble on Tuesday with his whole mask on. He's now, you know, went through the whole outline quarantine process. He's with the team. It's a simple mistake, man. People just want to look for a story, write a story any way they can. You know, in this situation, Harden just, you know, he picked a mask that he thought he looked cool. There's no real harm, no real foul here.
Yeah, I think it was just the, like you said, he wanted to wear it because it looked cool for him. So,
yeah,
for me, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I thought it was cool. Like,
I didn't even realize it was actually a Blue Lives Matter until somebody pointed that out, you know?
It wasn't.
I mean,
I don't think it was. Was it?
I think it was. I just don't think it was. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't really know what the whole thing was about it. Okay. Somebody just trying to find a story about it is what I can see from it.
I didn't even know the Blue Lives Matter had like a freaking flag or anything. I think people wanted to make a story out of it. But, you know, that's where the PR guys come in, like myself, and you're like, you can't do that. You have to apologize and keep it moving, right? So
exactly.
Find a new mask. They have a ton of masks there that they provide the players in the hotel rooms. I'm sure he's got like five more he can use.
Yeah, for sure. So next up we got is what we got next up here. We got, they're keeping busy. We got some activities that are taking, the outdoor activities are starting. We get some players playing cornhole, taking fishing, getting that socializing in, as they say. What is this for you?
This was expected, right? I mean, we'll keep it moving on this. I will say the one funny thing that I think it went viral, everyone saw it, was Ben Simmons with the fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's got the lake. The lake is wide open, and he still misses throwing the fish in and back into the lake. So the fish flopped. I think the fish actually died before it hit the water. It was tragic. He couldn't even hit the fish into the water. So I know Simmons is working on his jump shot on the court. Maybe we'll see if he's got some jumpers he wants to provide us in those eight regular season games. But nah, keep it moving, man. They're playing ping pong. That's cool. I get pissed when I saw him play ping pong because I want to go. I can smack these dudes. Who? We played ping pong going up.
I'm telling you.
We can get these guys, bro. We can get them.
If they want to
get them something.
If they want to, you know, put some bets on the game or two, let's go down there to the bubble, you know. We'll be, I think you were saying, we could be equipment managers real quick. And I'll be on the sideline. You can play for money and I'll just, you know, get the bets going.
We'll bring your own balls and everything, man. But yeah, they're having a good time. It's cool. We expected this, but they'll probably, they're shotgunning beers too. It's pretty funny. I don't know. Keep it moving.
All right. Last up, we get to see a couple of players. You know, they kind of turn to the camera, not the media cameras. They bring their own camera, and they have started to post vlogs in the bubble life. Is this worthy or let's keep it moving?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty worthy. Let's talk about this for a sec. We see Matisse Thybulle and JaVale McGee both bring their video skills to the bubble, where we can see sort of the ins and outs of the true bubble life experience. Thybulle, some people know him as the pledge or the rookie guard for the 76ers. He doesn't get the food order right, so he gets shit on by Tobias Harris. It's pretty funny. But he just started a YouTube page, and now he's a popular vlogger. This guy's very smart, and I think by the end of all this, more people are going to know who he is just because he's vlogging these everyday things with everyday life and what he's doing. With JaVale McGee, we've pretty much seen all the team bus rides, the ballroom where the players are tested for the coronavirus. We see an inside look at what the 76ers practice look like. You know, the hotel rooms, what they're bringing in, the goodies and the snacks. One of the crazier stunts, I guess, that you could say that I saw on Matisse's page, he was trying to get the drone set up and take it out on the balcony and fly it. But he realized that Disney is a no-fly zone. I don't know if they got snipers on deck, just prone, ready to see, like, some little video camera trying to get it. It's not a bad idea. Like, that's a good idea to think if someone was trying to do that. But, yeah. He's got a drone. He's showing it. It's super cool. He's got, I think, over like 500,000 views and likes on it. And I even think the New York Times interviewed him about it. So Matisse Thybulle, great marketing for yourself, dude.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have nothing to say about it besides it's interesting. I wish more players would do kind of the day in the life of an NBA player.
Yeah.
Kind of just, or like a media crew follow a player, kind of like we saw from the Jordan documentary, kind of see what the players actually do on a day-to-day basis. So I love it. I wish he would keep the vlogs up for sure. I'm interested by him, and I can't wait for the next one to come out.
Totally cool stuff, man. And we even see like equipment rooms, all these guys, bags of shoes are in like a separate hotel room. They're using everything as in hotel rooms. So like the massage and like training tables and stuff like that, those are in hotel rooms. So it's cool to see how they're going in there. They're getting massages and they're like, man, we're out of our room, but we're in another hotel room. So, but yeah, they're killing it, man. They're having a lot of fun right now.
For sure. I love to see it. Keep them up. Hey, Matisse, if the basketball thing doesn't work out, you will become the next big YouTube star. No doubt. I have faith in you. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, so, I love it, man. That's awesome. Cool deal. Is that it for Man to Man?
Yeah, that's...
Or Worthy, Man to Man Worthy, our segment?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
All right, that's the first hour of our episode. We appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Andy and Hoopstar coming at you live on Man to Man, episode 28, Hotline Bling. The second episode is brought to you by Wax Pot Skin Studio. It's a local Nashville full beauty service. I don't know why I can't say that. Full beauty service, specializing in waxing, laser hair removal, electrolysis, facials, microneedling, lashes, dermaplaning, and many other services. Guys, this isn't only for ladies. This is for you, too. Get that nasty hair off your chest, man. I know you got some nasty hair, brother. Or if you don't, you know, you're feeling too shy, a little uncomfortable, treat your girl to, you know, brow tint, lash lift, lash tint. Yeah, it's cool stuff. I know what's going on over there. They got amazing products. You know, don't be afraid to dive into that skin world. Check out their website, waxpotstudio.com. You know, hey, feel comfortable in the skin you're in. You going hoop or no, brother?
I'm actually going to be in the Nashville area on Tuesday.
Oh, really? This is news?
Yeah.
All right, you're coming to Nashville, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to be there for the day. Got to take a buddy around looking at apartments. He's going to move down there in a couple months. Yeah. So I might have to go check it out. Can I get the eyebrows done?
You want the eyebrows done?
I think I need the eyebrows. My eyebrows is just...
You looking like Anthony Davis over there, ain't you?
Not Anthony Davis. We're just a little thick. I could...
No, it's okay. Hey, be comfortable. Be comfortable in the skin you're in, dude. Yes, we'll do a before and after picture, randomly posted on our man-to-man page, and people will be like, man, what are they doing over there? We're like Wax Pot Skin Studio, dude. Like, yeah, come on.
It's a sponsor.
Cool deal. Yeah, it's good stuff. I haven't seen you in probably like 8 years. So, yeah, for people that don't know, we aren't in the same state or country. I'm in Russia, Liam's in USA. I'm just kidding. We're both here, man. We hang out a lot. So yeah, what we got? Who? We got the Brooklyn Nets. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, let's just mention it. We kind of talked about it a little bit last week. We see Jamal Crawford big hot take from last week. I think I got Jamal Crawford getting 350 burgers in the bubble. I think that's a good number for him.
Fully loaded.
Yeah. So good for him. Another thing we see, which is probably the funnier portion of the Nets, we see him sign Michael Beasley.
Yeah.
He went down to the bubble, got in the bubble. He was playing, I don't know if he was swimming or something. I don't know what he was doing. But somehow he tested positive for the coronavirus. I think we said that he has a house in Miami.
Yeah.
So he went from Miami to Orlando on like a bus ride or something. Yeah. And now he's back to Miami. He will not play in the remainder of the season for the Nets.
It doesn't get any better, bro.
I think it's just like, what's up with that guy? That guy is, I don't know. It's probably better that he's not in the bubble. Sorry to say that. I wish he could, get his money right.
The difference between Beasley and Jamal. Jamal came from, a pretty good season last year. Who is Beasley's agent? Because he was terrible at the Lakers, man. I don't even – is he the best free agent out there right now? I don't even know. Maybe for, a big man. But, of course, Beasley's, in Miami – Miami, Florida, dude, 15,000 cases in a single day. They don't give a, dude, they're at the pool parties and Beasley's hanging out. He's an NBA stud and he probably messing around with some weird people down there, bro. Yeah, so, I mean, they
living it up every night for sure.
They sense that white stuff on his nose and they're like, nah, we can't do that, bro. That's a little explicit. Beasley's out. Are the Nets done? Who knows? I mean, whoever's playing the Nets. I mean, welcome to the second round, right?
Yeah, easy. First round against the Nets. Now, I don't see them making any, heroic, upset in the first round. So, if you're the Nets or you're playing the Nets in the first round,
does your hot take change with the amount of burgers?
I say at least three. So I think he might even get more now.
That's what I'm asking at least. Yeah, I think, is that possible to get five burgers?
He could possibly get. My take was at least three. This could bump it up to four. Five is a lot to ask for. I don't know if he likes ketchup or mustard on those burgers, or lettuce or tomatoes or onions. Because if you got all that on the burgers too, I don't think he can get more than four.
That's a lot of weight on your back, man. It's a lot of weight in your stomach as well. But here's the thing with the Nets, Hoop, and they can't forfeit. I don't think a team can forfeit. But you've seen the boxing video with the guy. He's not getting paid a lot. He's fighting the big Nigeria dude. But the dude himself is pretty jacked. And then they touch gloves, the bell rings, and then he just leaves out the ring. Is that what the Nets could do? They could just dap up in the starting five of the first game and be like, just walk off the court? I don't know. Is something like that happen, or can the Nets forfeit, or do you think are they even going to try?
I think it would be hilarious. Absolutely hilarious if they did the whole, tip ball and
just walk off.
Just get back.
Go to the pool. Yeah. Go back to the hotel.
That would be hilarious. It's probably the best option they do have because they're not probably going to win any games. But I still see them making the playoffs. I think they'll win maybe one or two, possibly.
Yeah.
Sneak out of there.
They got some young bloods on their team.
But if I was the Nets, I would just forfeit my season, right?
No, I totally understand. It's
wait for next year.
Hey, that's bubble life, man. That's karma going to the Nets too. All right, cool. Nets. Yeah, I mean, we had to talk about that for a sec. And then we're gonna get into our last segment here. It's new. It's called Who's Hot and Who Is Not. We're going to start. This is a new gambling segment that we will start to incorporate in our episodes to come, simply because we love gambling and are sports betting degenerates, you could say. I haven't actually gambled in a while. I miss it. I ran out of money, but I'd like to do it again, right? It sounds fun. Plus, the NBA makes a lot of money from legal gambling from Vegas and all that stuff. So with that being said, we have partnered up with Statty Capper. It's a simple guide to help you make the correct bets based on Vegas odds and professional expert created models. Check out their website, Statty Capper. It gives you full analysis of each upcoming game. Basically, what we're trying to say is for this segment, we are going to pick important games within this season's restart, give you all the numbers on who's hot, who's not, so you too can make some pocket change or lose a lot of money, as well as have a gambling addiction problem.
Yes, that's pretty much who we are. But with that being said, we do have a special guest with us today. He goes by Roberto, our gambling expert. He is going to walk us through pretty much everything you need to know about the gambling as we see the season start back up here. We are lucky enough to have what we like to call an inside man and hopefully be on the right side with our bets. Rob, how you doing today?
What's up, how you everyone? Doing, Rob?
I'm doing Rob, good.
Our gambling expert, how are we doing?
You gonna make us some money, bro?
Yeah,
that's the goal, man. That's the goal.
So kind of walk us through the website, and kind of navigate and how to navigate the information that this website kind of provides us with.
For sure. So first, thanks for having me. Love what y'all are doing. Get right to the point. Basically, the goal of Static Capper is to bring mathematical ways of thinking to everyday gamblers, right? That's what people end up winning in the long run, not just going by what your gut's telling you, like, oh, I like the Clippers over the Lakers.
Who knows?
No feeling bets.
Right. You got to think long run. And we approach this from two different angles, right? We come from a probability angle and we come from an expected value angle. And what we're doing it with these is trying to point out where Vegas is wrong, where we believe Vegas is wrong, right?
Okay.
So basically, Vegas is going to give you a spread. I believe the spread on the Lakers-Clippers game is roughly -1 to the Lakers. Last I saw, I could be wrong, but we'll just use that example for right now. And let's say it's at -1, and we run our analysis on all the variables that we've accumulated, and ours comes down to saying we think the spread should be Lakers -2.
Okay.
And it's saying so that we think Lakers should win by 2 points. Vegas is saying they should win by 1. In that situation, we're going to say pick the Lakers there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like expected value model. Then we have the probability model, which is what we really more rely on, because expected values, if you think of like a regular average, can be skewed based on one outlier, right? Probability is more looking at what's the probability the Lakers win by more than one. So it could be one shot could be 3 points, right? So they can win by 1, 2, 3, 4, or they could lose by 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. Mm-hmm. So now we're assigning probabilities to each of these outcomes. Probability. So, and if the probability is not large enough, where we think if you bet on this the same game thousands of times over, we're gonna say just don't bet on this game. It's not a good bet. Like that's how Vegas makes their money, is by getting it close enough, 50-50, where they're making that 2% on each side.
Right.
So that's the goal, is to show people like where Vegas is messing up.
Okay.
And then along with the pick, like we'll say like Lakers or Clippers, whatever, whoever we decide. There's not enough NBA information out right now.
They're not giving any NBA information out right now.
Like we need starters. We need Pelicans, for example. Like we don't know if Zion's going to play. That's going to affect the analysis 100%.
Yeah.
Right. But eventually, like we'll say like who we pick, Lakers, Clippers, against the spread, and then next to it, we'll give them a quality of like the pick, like is it high confidence, low confidence, or like in between medium confidence, right? So like, obviously you want to probably focus more on the high confident ones and versus the low and medium, but you could bet on the low confidence ones if you like you're just like a hardcore Utah Jazz fan or something.
Yeah.
Like I want to see when I want to bet on Utah. I'm going to bet on Utah all the time. The consensus.
Right. So how do you come up with these numbers? Do you purchase models from different professional experts that create these different models? I do it like 1,000 times over and over on a game, or how do you go about that? What makes it so accurate?
So we took a few seasons worth of data. I think past 2, because that's been when like the 14-second shot clock rule.
Mm-hmm.
that kind of like changed how the flow of the game works. And just also gathered the game data and the gambling data and just sifted through that, found different variables that seemed to have strong correlations and strong predicting accuracy with all that. And then just kept tweaking different variables in and out of them, each model to see like which one would have done the best.
Right.
And we're always like constantly updating and like looking at, okay, we're seeing this flaw on a systematic basis, right? Maybe certain types of games, like for higher pace games, we're saying, we're coming in too high. We should like ease up a little bit, right? Or vice versa. Even other things, then like maybe we too strong on like starting lineups versus bench, stuff like that. So
right. So it's an ongoing thing with like, with games after games. Let's say the Clippers have, you know, a bad losing streak, and but they're right. still playing like, you know, kind of like a mid-tier team. Do those odds, or I guess the high quality or low quality or medium quality, what you put, does that change just based on like a losing and a winning streak? Or are you just saying the Clippers are the Clippers and whoever they're playing, probably bet on them again? Like, you know, how, if that makes sense, I don't know.
Right. So, I mean, for each like an over under or a spread, that would probably, or a money line, that would change. You also have to look at like who they're playing. Like if they just played three championship teams, that's going to affect it. But in, for the most part, we don't look at their like streak. Like if Kawhi's healthy and playing, Like I'm not Kawhi, like
Paul that's George, all you need right there.
Right. Yeah. Like, like they're like, obviously like we understand people go through phases of like hot streaks and cold streaks. Right. But it's more how often they're going to be hot versus how often they're going to be cold. Like I'm never, if Paul George or Kawhi go on a cold streak together, I'm, or Lou Will, like all three of them just cold, like,
yeah.
And so Vegas would probably start to like favor the other teams more frequently. And that's where we're going to come in and say, like, nah, you're wrong. Like they're not going to stay cold. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's more of like saying, showing when Vegas is wrong rather than trying to predict these little trends that last. Well,
what about live bets? Because I love live bets. Do you do live bets at all, or live do you bets, just do like the before the game?
No, not yet. That's something I want to grow into for sure.
Yeah.
One big idea I have on that one is seeing. This is going to be a long process, but it's not happening anytime soon. But seeing like how the spreads change within a game, and then how like you can. How if the over underdog gets like a huge lead, like how does that really affect the ending spread, right?
Yeah.
So but that's that we haven't gotten. This is more like pre-game betting, right. Sure. But
and it's not like people just take your advice. You're not like a bookie or anything. It's all
no, but not a bookie. Yeah,
this is not a bookie. We're clear on that right now. Yeah. Guy's not a bookie. All right, he's gonna give you advice over
Hell
here.
Hell no. No way. There's no sign up. There's no nothing. Like you literally just go to the website. Like you're on ESPN and you want to look at some game data. Like it's just look at, right?
And it's cool to see different odds too. Like what professionals are saying. You got Vegas odds. You got ESPN odds. I don't know if they're correlated. I think they are. I have no idea. But then you got like your odds on the websites. And there's so many other different websites you can go to. But
exactly.
Yeah, it's cool to see different odds like that. And just pick your team. Yeah. Pick what you want.
Yeah, and like you don't even. You don't even have to listen to us. Like, it's just an idea, right? Like, you can think about it like, well, they're saying we have this team has a 60% chance of winning. Vegas is saying with their whatever their money line is. Vegas is saying like their implied probability is just called like 58% chance. Is that 2% difference like really worth putting in my money?
Gotcha.
That's the goal, right?
That is the goal. And Hoop and I don't know, maybe I'll ask you this too. Hoop, I don't know about you, man, but we did a lot of parlays. Mm-hmm. But we also within like single games, I always did the spread. We used to do the money line. I used to take the spread. Rob, what would you suggest for someone who doesn't really know what's going on, but sports are coming back? You know, maybe somebody don't have a job right now, aka your boy. And you kind of get it. You trying to make. What would you suggest on like starting out as a beginner?
Right. What's the best category? Over under, spread, or money line as like the safest bet? Or is there a safe question. Or is there a safest bet?
I think all those three categories are all very like similar in their risk, like they're all the same. Speak on the play part of it. I wouldn't recommend parlays.
Oh, we love the parlays. We lose every time, bro.
But parlays are so fun to bet, right?
Like, yeah.
You win so much money off like, come on, why wouldn't you take it? There's like mathematical reasoning behind why parlays are actually really bad. But if I were to bet parlays, and I do a lot because it's fun. Like I'll throw like a dollar or something. I'm doing well, so try and get lucky. But if I were to bet parlays, it'd be strictly heavy favorite money lines. It's like a list of them, right? Like Clippers are playing the Nets, right? Nets not looking too hot, as we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Money on the Clippers. I put my money on whoever's playing the Suns, and I put my money on whoever's playing the Knicks. If the Knicks are in it, right? Like,
right.
That three-team parlay, like, that's probably going to hit. You're obviously going to get lower odds, but it's doing a lot of high probability actions to get a higher multiplier.
So, I guess that answered the question, Hoop. None of them are safe, but I don't know. I was a big spread guy. I don't know. Sometimes the spreads hit, sometimes they didn't. The money, I feel like you could make more money from a spread or an over-under. Actually, mm-hmm. No, I was a big over-under guy. That's what
I personally like the over-unders.
I was a big over-under guy. Yeah. What about players? Are you on like individual players or is it just teams with the MLB and NBA right now?
No, so like player props.
Yeah.
No, we're not on player props yet, but we do analyze like in the teams we analyze each player.
Yeah.
But like we're just starting out. Like this is the first season we've been in it.
Yeah.
Live betting something we want to grow into.
Shoot, my mind is racing right now, bro. Right, okay, I'm just gonna stick with the teams.
right. But we're trying. Well, believe me, my mind's racing too. We're trying to build into everything, right?
For sure.
Cool deal.
It's a process, and this is like the most simple, like understands it way to get our feet wet, make a name for ourselves, and
yeah,
sure. Love to have you guys on board because you guys are
yeah, Statty Capper, dude. Let's yeah, for sure. You guys I'm cool with Statty Capper because I tell you, Vegas has fucked me, dude. So like yeah. Vegas, they're not very nice to me for some reason, right? Yeah. I'm not winning. Lot in Vegas, so
yeah
I need some other odds I can look at.
I have a fun story about a parlay. Years ago I put $5 on five teams, and the last game I believe was Lakers Phoenix, and this is before LeBron was there, so Lakers are still pretty bad.
Oh, they got my guy Lonzo.
Yeah it was like, I mean they weren't bad, but they weren't.
Shut up, Lonzo. I got the jersey in the closet,
right? And I forget which, so I hit the first four, and it was down to this last game, and it was the last game of the day, and it was $5 to win $150. I was down to my last $5.
Oh, okay. Let's not get to that point, folks.
No, but I was right. I didn't put much. I put like $20. I had $5. I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna bet $5 on this parlay." First four hit. I forget which team I bet on. I think I bet on Phoenix, and Phoenix was up like 5 points. Someone, I think Kuzma got ejected. Someone got ejected from the game, and I was so happy. And Phoenix ended up winning. Dude, it was the best. 150.
See? Well, hey, once that parlay hits, shoot, you got to do another one after that.
So I was
what games are playing, baby? What sports are on?
That was my best gambling. That's my best parlay story. But I do not recommend parlays, and for the most part. Or if you're going to do parlays and you're looking at the website, just take all the high ones, high confidence ones. There's not many of them. Most of them are going to be medium or low confidence, but take a bunch of high ones. They're more likely to hit relative than what Vegas is saying. So the hits, that's big for you right there. So.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling good, man. I'm saving up a little bit too. We got to just go together, man. I know a lot of people do that too, where they just combine their money together and then
pull it.
Yeah,
I've done that.
What's the word for it?
Pooling. Like pooling money.
Pooling. Okay, yeah, let's pool, dude. Let's just pool real quick.
So I lose all my money and
yeah. Yeah, well, there have been a couple bets where Liam loved his parlays, and I'd be like, man, should I take the Pacers over the Bucks? Like, I'd have like the Lakers, the Clippers, and then Pacers versus the Bucks. I don't know. Should I? It's like 50 to win 300. Liam's like, man, I'll pay half of that if you lose. Man, I'm trying to see that. Damn well, no, he didn't pay half of that. So hey, we gotta pull it up, man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna lose quick 50 on a parlay.
For sure. I think. Lastly, before we get out of here, because we are running out of time, this is websites for beginners and experienced, right? So you got it pretty much all of it on the website there, kind of walk you through.
Yeah, super simple stuff when you look at it. I just looked at it and I was like, man, this is awesome. It's very organized and it's very easy to tell like what's going on, even if you're just getting into the gambling world.
Right. So definitely go take a look at it. That's statticapper.com. Thanks for coming on here, Rob.
Next time you had me, I'll come with picks to help everyone, have all the watchers out.
Yes, sir. We'll,
The expert. We'll bring you on. We'll bring you out. Trust me, we'll bring you on.
We definitely will. But thank you, Rob. I appreciate you coming on. Nope, and
thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. This was fun.
Yes, sir.
We will get the picks from you here in the next couple of weeks for sure.
For sure.
All right. Yeah, but with that, Mr. Twizzington, I think
that's it, right?
I think that's a wrap for this week, right? Thank you guys for tuning in this week. Again, we will be doing the 2K giveaway in the coming of weeks here before the season starts. If you haven't already, go check us out on our social media. That's at Man to Man Podcast on Instagram and at Man to Man Pod.
Yeah, and quick hoop, what shout out the logos, man. We got some cool stuff coming out, man.
If you haven't noticed already, we got our new logo on our YouTube page here, and our Instagram has our new logo as well.
Some of that on a t-shirt, throw it on pop sockets, hats.
Yeah, well,
let's get it, baby.
We'll be coming out with some merch here in a little bit. As well, so stay tuned for that. But with that, this week's episode is a wrap, man. I will catch you next week. Namaste to you guys. Namaste.
Namaste. Hey, Pacer Nation, baby. I'm gonna go. I'm straight hustling.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.